This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Rebag, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermès, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Ramble Reacts. Liverpool get back to winning ways, but Spurs only managed a draw in Germany. It's Wednesday, 5th of October. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Luke Moore.
And I'm Lars Stewart.
Well, greetings, everybody. Greetings indeed. Lovely to have you with us. Oh, we're here to talk about those Champions Leagues. And my goodness, Luke Moore, it was a fairly underwhelming evening last night in the Champions League.
Well, first and foremost, I think it's great to have Lars here on his Ramble Reacts debut, I believe.
I was going to come to that.
Listeners will be absolutely delighted to hear the big man's alongside us. So welcome to you, Lars.
That's the inspiring bit.
You were a lot less nice to me off air, so this is progress. This is very good.
Oh, there's still plenty of time. Don't worry about that. The question was, I kind of enjoyed the Liverpool game. I didn't see much of the Spurs game because obviously I'm not one of those people who's clever enough to watch kind of two games at once like an Andy Brassel or a Marcelo Bielsa or a Lars Sivertsen. But I enjoyed the Liverpool game. My biggest disappointment was that, and this may well be because Liverpool were too good or perhaps Rangers weren't quite capable of it, I was hoping that Rangers would see Liverpool's appalling record at starting games and really try and go for it and really kind of put the wind up of them and give them a scare. And it never really manifested itself like that. And as soon as they got past the early exchanges, it was never really going to be like that. So that was slightly disappointing. And the other thing I would just add to that is a couple of agents of chaos on the pitch, to use Lars's term, in Alfredo Morelos and Darwin Nunez, and there wasn't really as many fireworks as I was hoping for either. So overall, perhaps a little bit disappointing, but still plenty to talk about.
Indeed, yeah. Well, do you know that that fixture between Liverpool and Rangers, Lars, was the first ever competitive game between those two sides? It's quite remarkable, really. They played 10 friendlies. I'm not going to tell you the scores in any of those games, but obviously Liverpool won 2-0.
Why not? Why are you keeping this a secret?
Every game, every friendly match they played have all been 8 or 9 goal thrillers. May or may not be the case. But we should say straight away that Liverpool versus Rangers, more likely or more accurately, we would say Liverpool versus Alan McGregor. Because no matter how old that man gets, he still loves a save.
Remarkable evening. Just the busiest 40-year-old in Britain.
He
What are you doing? What are you doing at this age, man?
I love it how he looks even older as well, because you think 40 is obviously old for a footballer, even a goalkeeper. Obviously, goalkeepers go on that little bit longer, but he still looks like he's... It looks like he's had a lot of evenings like this, like last night when Liverpool beat him. But he was in great, incredible form, Alan McGregor. He loves European competition, that we know. But he couldn't keep Trent Alexander-Arnold and Mo Salah out. And do you know what, actually? When you look at the game, look, it was obviously 2-0. I mean, Liverpool had a hatful of chances. McGregor obviously made some fine saves. Probably the pick of the bunch was against Diogo Jota, where he got those big fingertips of his... But Rangers will think to themselves it was a set, you know, a beautiful free kick from Trent Alexander-Arnold, who once and for all answered his critics about his defending capabilities with that free kick, and a penalty from Mo Salah. So there kind of be a bit. I think there'll be a bit regret. They'll be full of a bit of regret there, because especially the goal from Trent was so early on in the game.
Well, yeah, I mean, and that kind of chimes into what I was saying earlier, I suppose. It was actually Liverpool that scored early, as you mentioned, rather than Rangers. And it did really kind of tickle me, the coverage, because... And I don't necessarily have a big view on this, and I'm not sure if Lars does either generally, but, you know, it seems to me that everyone involved in that BT Sport production last night really wanted Trent Alexander-Arnold to be brilliant, right?
Yes.
And that's fine. You know, that's completely up to them. And he had a good game. No question about that. But you touched on it there, Marcus, and I'm sorry to make really obvious your quite clever joke, but
thanks.
To make it clear to people listening, like we had no questions at all answered about what Trent Alexander-Arnold was able to do defensively, because Rangers offered nothing going forward, really. So,
yeah.
I mean, we all know that it's not the greatest surprise in the world that Trent Alexander-Arnold can take pretty good free kicks and pretty good corners, you know, which he did really well last night. And good luck to him, you know, great goal, can't take it away from him. But it seemed like they were really kind of desperate to make this a narrative about Trent Alexander-Arnold, to the point where it was actually so saccharine when he came off in the final minute to this kind of ovation, which obviously Klopp had designed to happen to give him a bit of a boost and to give Gomez a little appearance in the Champions League and all the rest of it. It just seemed a little bit like the whole point was not only being missed, but just flying past them on the motorway without them even craning their necks to look at it. But Lars, what have you made of the coverage of Trent kind of generally over the last week or two?
Well, I get frustrated with a lot of football punditry that treats players as if they're completely binary. They're either good or bad, and doesn't allow for the fact that players have different qualities.
I'm sorry about that.
Some players say, well, don't get me started on you. that they don't allow for the fact that some players have qualities that make them really well suited for certain systems, but less suited for other systems. The whole Trent for England debate, I mean, first of all, it's been an autumn where everyone has spent half their lives on social media talking about how bad Trent Alexander-Arnold is. Then the internationals come around, and I swear to God, a lot of the same people are very annoyed that he's not starting for England. I think there's an element of just wanting to whinge about everything. But like, he is clearly a guy who can do extraordinary things going forward. Klopp has identified that and sort of rejigged the system so that he has protection, or at least used to have protection in the sense of other players covering from him and all that. This year, the balance hasn't been quite right. He's been exposed a little bit more, and he, as an individual, hasn't played that well. But I thought really spoke well of him here was that he didn't cup his ears when he's it must have been some part of him that would have been very tempted to do the cuppy ears when he celebrated his goal. But of course, that would have been nonsensical. We would have been deep into to Harry Maguire header against Albania territory, which thankfully is a territory we managed to avoid.
Lars, would you like to have seen him do like a couple of years thing after perhaps a goal line clearance or a particularly well positioned piece of defensive
play? That would be good, yeah. No,
that'd be like WWE type stuff.
Would you prefer maybe a cuppy ball thing like Diego Simeone did that?
No. I would not prefer that.
Pulling his shorts down like Tom Kearney?
Yeah, exactly. Come on,
Lars. I would have, I mean, really, they would have had to put too much thought into this and probably would have gone too far. But as he scored that goal, if they'd pre planned a celebration in which he sort of sarcastically misses a tackle on someone or something, that'd have been very, very good. But it would take sort of Icelandic levels of prep in terms of celebration stuff, which maybe is frowned upon. I'm not quite sure, but that would have been good.
Quite. Or he could have eaten the grass like Robbie Fowler did that time.
Yeah.
But I know what you mean by Trent, without spending too much time on this. But I think the reason why we felt like we had to talk about that was because of the coverage, as you said, Luke. Like so many of the BT Sport commentators, pundits, presenter, all of them involved were defending him. And I think that with this, it's kind of like people also say, well, England have a lot of very, very good right backs and right-sided options. That's why that Trent doesn't necessarily get in there. But, I mean, Gary Neville said on Monday Night Football that Alexander-Arnold is capable of becoming the greatest right back the world has ever produced.
That's now, how it works. Now, the world produces them out of a big quarry. They come out on a conveyor belt. Oh, that one's not really good.
What is important these days is as the world, the Western world, we get more extreme in our opinions. It's a race to be who can be the most extreme. And I think Gary's won it there.
Can we not just say, listen, he has some extraordinary qualities going forward. He's less good at the back. Lord. He's been particularly iffy at the back this season. He's been criticised a bit, but he's young and he's been good before, and he's going to be good again. Like you can say that. You can be really supportive and positive while still acknowledging that. Like
the best right back the world has ever produced
ever.
I think also Steve McManaman approached the broadcast last night like it was some kind of Trent Alexander-Arnold fan support group. Like Darwin Nunez would miss a chance, which by the way last night happened all the fucking time, and he would be talking about Trent. Oh, at least we've got Trent to take the corner now. You know what I mean? All right, mate.
Darwin Nunez, by the way, whose goals to headbutt ratio, lamentably, is still 1-1, which is, again, it's not really what you want for too long.
We're sitting on a bit of a... I wonder whether... you've heard it here first, and this could be a terrible take, so by all means, feel free to haunt me with it at a later date.
Yeah.
I wonder whether we're sitting on a bit of a time bomb here with Liverpool and Darwin Nunez. I wonder really... Because he looked like his movement's great, he's strong, he's got a real competitive edge, and I think there's a lot of people out there who are desperate for him to be the new Luis Suarez because of the way he carries himself.
No, I definitely think that's true.
But I'll tell you something now, based on last night, it's early days, of course, his finishing was very, very kind to the 40-year-old Alan McGregor. I don't know why I keep saying that. He's younger than me.
Well, what's wrong with Darwin Nunez respecting his elders? But as I said, with regards to all this chat about Trent and Darwin, let's get away from those with ridiculous footballing opinions. I just want to turn our attention to Garth Crooks.
Oh, great. Garth's not gone the ramble for ages. It's great to see him back.
We've ignored him for this
one off.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah. I forgot all about little Garthy.
Well, because if people want to know, listeners want to know how we prep for the show, what's happened here is that Marcus just disappeared for about 5 minutes, but right to the back of the ramble content cupboard, climbed over a few bits of flotsam and jetsam from the conversational world, pushed aside the Diego Maradona story, climbed through the Kevin Keegan shelf, dusted off the Garth Crook-shaped conversation.
I was like, oh, Garth's still here.
Yeah, absolutely. For ages, Garth.
Hey, come along. Crooks and all.
Thought he had the pundit bank.
Apparently, he's still writing a column, which is good to know. It's good to know. And he was talking about Thiago Alcantara, and he said, "Liverpool fans keep telling me that Thiago Alcantara, brackets when he's fit, is their main man. He might be if he could run. The Spaniard has turned jogging into an art form. Go on, Crooksy. Good to see he still packs a punch.
Lars, you must have a take on that.
I mean. It does remind me of the sort of, which of the papers was it, the Mail, who did the sort of the Team of the Year and Xavi headline once?
Oh yeah,
no one's ever forgiven them because it was Xavi, the dumbest thing ever. Yeah. And I think we're in that territory. Like he doesn't need what do you want him to run around like? I'm just not going to get excited by it. I'm just not going to get excited.
Yeah, please don't. But yeah, Thiago was in there. Jordan Henderson playing in the centre of midfield, proving. For some people who needed to, that he is potentially worthy of a starting position for England with that kind of performance.
Still, over it. It's been a week.
Oh, good God. Potentially the best midfielder from Sunderland ever produced.
Speak to Jonathan Wilson about that.
Yeah.
But Henderson was good, though, in the centre of the pitch. I mean, he did have the run of the play. This is the thing about that Liverpool performance. How much could you take from that against the Rangers side, who were very, very unadventurous? Now, you could say, well, Liverpool just didn't give them a moment to breathe, really. And that would be a fair take. But I did think, though, Luke, with regards to the match, that, and it was the point was made that when Matondo and Kamara came on and gave a bit of pace down the wings, and Sakala did okay as well. But Rangers, they did produce more and actually probably should have scored towards the end. Now, I think it would have been very, very unlikely of them to get anything out of the game at any point of the evening. But to get a goal, you know, which would have been their first in the competition thus far, would have been something to take.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think they definitely ended the game more strongly. I completely agree with that analysis around the substitutions they made. And it's kind of, and look, it's one of those situations where you sit here and it's easy to say, because when you start to tot up the budgets between the respective teams, not just with Rangers against Liverpool, but probably against Ajax and Napoli as well, who have, you know, Lars may know better than me on this, but I'm pretty sure they have, you know, better resources than Rangers, and certainly have a more competitive time of it. It's easy for me to say, but, you know, ultimately Rangers went into this game knowing a couple of things, knowing, as I mentioned, that Liverpool struggled to start well in this current iteration of their team, and knowing also if they lose the game last night, they're almost, if the stats essentially say that they're out. They're out of the Champions League. So, to me, I felt a little bit disappointed that with such a good travelling support, and potentially the door just left slightly ajar to say, do you know what, if we push really hard really early on, you never know.
Yeah.
Of course, that may result in a 4-0 loss, but, I mean, they've lost 2-0 anyway. So, I mean, to me, it's a little bit of a shame. And I thought the substitutions that were introduced by Van Bronckhorst did show perhaps a bit about what they could have done if they'd been a bit more positive.
Yeah, I mean, what do you think, Lars? It's a bit disappointing for Rangers, because when they beat PSV Eindhoven, of course, to get into the Champions League, it was a huge win for them. It was a massive win, you could even say, for Scottish football. And, of course, for Giovanni Van Bronckhorst, who knows PSV very well, being a Feyenoord man. But it was a big thing. They obviously got to the Europa League final last year. But the manner of their results and performances, okay, against Napoli, I know they're sending off and so on, we'll get to Napoli in a brief moment. But to lose their first three games in the group, I mean, I think they may well try and take inspiration from Sir Bobby Robson's Newcastle, who I believe were the first team in the Champions League, or certainly one of definitely a rare example of losing their first three games and then coming back to win their second three games and going through. Seems very unlikely for Rangers that'll be the case. But like, how disappointing is it for Rangers, Lars, to get themselves in the Champions League, having had a great European campaign last season, and then to be beaten fairly handedly in all three games thus far?
Well, listen, I think they'll have pointed to the fact that they got past Dortmund and got past RB Leipzig last season as a sign that maybe they could be more competitive in this tournament. But in all honesty, when the draw works out the way it does, you get Liverpool, who, yeah, they're not having a great time, but they're still Liverpool, and, you know, the quality is still there. You get Napoli, who've turned out to be quite a lot better in Italy as well than we were expecting this season. And you get Ajax, who are obviously not an easy team to play against. I think, I would imagine if there's one thing maybe Rangers should be disappointed about, is that they weren't more competitive in the game against Ajax. Because obviously, looking at Napoli taking them apart, I mean, it's a tiny sample size and you're judging by single games and all this, but maybe this isn't the most intimidating Ajax team there's ever been. And the way Rangers were kind of played off the park at times against them was a little bit sort of less than what I was hoping from them. But realistically, the draw was not very kind to them. And I'd be slightly baffled if they got out of this group, really, when the draw was made.
You're absolutely right. I mean, you mentioned Napoli there. We should turn our attention to them just briefly, because they're in the same group, of course. And they got a massive 6-1 win in Amsterdam, I'm sure everybody's aware, against Ajax. They're top of the league in Serie A, Lars. You know, they're having a great time, and they've got a little Georgian lad called Kvaratskhelia, who's a proper player.
Yeah, he's great, and it's one of those stories. Said on the Ramble before, I'm going to say it again. It almost never happens anymore that players you've almost not heard of at all just turn up at a big club in a big league and just suddenly just sets fire to everything and are amazing. If they'd literally done that, that would have been very bad, obviously. But I mean, it's possibly in Napoli.
Well, Napoli would be the only place you could get away with that.
but really, just tearing up. And he's been so good. It's arguably, like, one of the most fun players in the world to watch right now, because he's so adventurous, he's full of tricks, and it's hard to put into words, which is bad on a podcast, but there's something about the vibe around him. There's so many players who have gone through academies with similar types of coaching, and it's all these little one-touch passes, and they all do very sensible things. Kvaratskhelia will occasionally try slightly goofier maneuvers on the football field, and he just does things you don't really expect him to try to do, I guess is what I'm getting at. which is if you're someone who watched way too much football for anyone's mental health, which is a category I certainly find myself in, you start to really treasure players who do not just good things but unexpected things and things you don't expect them to try. And he's definitely one of those. And really, just Napoli, it's a great story. Spalletti putting together a really entertaining and fun team. Not for the first time in his career, of course. He was kind of the coach who was in charge of Roma when they had Totti playing as a false nine towards the end of his career. Someone who's...
he plays a lovely brand of football, Spalletti.
Yeah, he does, but he's known as being a kind of curmudgeonly and sort of grumpy character and not a fun guy to deal with off the pitch. But his football teams are often an awful lot of fun to watch. And watch Napoli if you have a chance to do it. Except, of course, if you're an Ajax fan, in which case you're slightly traumatized by this and you might not want to see them again. Just stay away from pizzas and volcanoes and just really anything that reminds you of Naples right now.
Exactly, yeah. But they'll have to face the man they're calling Cavaradonna. And co next week, of course.
That'd be crucial for his development, that, wouldn't it?
Very much so, yeah. It's always good to be tagged.
Yeah, 21 years old, played about 10 games for Napoli and already being called that. Great. That's just what he needs. Maybe it is, I don't know. Maybe he's the kind of character that loves that.
Well, we shall see. We shall see. All right, chaps, let's have a quick break and after that we'll talk about Spurs.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the air in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
We'll see what happens.
Thank you, Pep.
You're very welcome. And Happy New Year.
Welcome back to Ramble Reacts, everybody. Before we get to Tottenham Hotspur, one of the best things that happened in the Champions League on Tuesday night, I think we can all agree, was when Bayer Leverkusen were denied a penalty at one end, then Porto scored on the counter, and then VAR pulled it back to give Bayer Leverkusen that penalty, which meant the Porto goal was disallowed. Now, VAR has pissed off a lot of people ever since it came into being. That is the ultimate mugging off of you can get as a football fan from VAR. You score, and it's like, not only is it chalked off, they get a penalty.
But then you also miss the final act, which is that Leverkusen missed the penalty anyway.
Indeed, yeah. Well,
if you'd never really seen football before, and someone said, all right, I'm going to introduce you to football, we're going to watch a Champions League game, it's top table of football, the standard doesn't get any higher, it's Porto v Bayer Leverkusen, you know, two storied clubs, you know, And so the first thing you saw was this. You'd be like, what kind of sport is this?
It's superb. What I absolutely loved about it is they were obviously celebrating they'd scored. And when the ref went over to check the monitor, you could still hear the music pumping. Everyone's dancing away. And then the referee, it was almost as if we turn that off. Penalty.
Then the music changed to the theme from Nightmare on Elm Street. And I was like, what's happening here? What's going on here? Yeah. Oh, my God, this sounds sinister.
Is the view that bad at the back of the FC Dragao that you need to kind of go on the music?
I also love the fact that, like, one thing that's, and I'm sure you will agree on this and our listeners will too, one thing that's absolutely dogged VAR since it started is the kind of English refereeing interpretation of it. Love. Who was the referee in that game?
Yeah,
Anthony Taylor.
Big time. Yeah.
If you're on the continent of Europe and you think, right, who have we got refereeing our game? If it's an English referee, you think, oh, Gordon, yeah. I hope there's no VAR.
He used to be so good at rules.
Yeah, he used to be good at rules. He used to be good at officiating, yeah. And this is going to take twice as long.
Yeah,
it gets to the point. Look, VAR, I think ultimately is a good thing. So I don't want to start all that bollocks. But I mean, watching Fulham this season at Craven Cottage, I have found myself going, "Oh, Gordon, get me back to the Championship. The decision's a decision. You know where you stand. The linesman's flag is down. It's a goal. Celebrate, lads. You know."
Yeah.
But there we are.
Do you think our listeners are really kind of caught on to how boring we thought the Spurs game was?
Well, I thought Lars was going to mention it with regards to penalties, a big Simon Mignolet putting off Antoine Griezmann for a penalty.
I just hope this becomes a gif. I hope the people who know how to make the gifs are at it tonight. And just look at the missed penalty Atleti had against Club Brugge, because this was just eccentric behavior. Because Simon Mignolet was kind of, I don't know if he was trying to put off Antoine Griezmann or if he's just a very strange guy at this point of his life, but he was just kind of, his big goalkeeping gloves, he was kind of clapping them together like a madman and just looking, and you could really hear it on the broadcast, the big clap, 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 and he sort of gave Griezmann a slightly wild-eyed look, and then Griezmann, perhaps just totally baffled by what was going on, just cracked it off the crossbar, like he couldn't do it. It worked.
Oh, there you are, you see. And and a good win for Club Brugge as well against Atletico.
3 out of 3 for Club Brugge. Now in the group with Aleti, Porto, and
it's impressive.
And Leverkusen, nobody saw that coming.
No, they did not. Did anybody see Tottenham drawing 0-0 away in Frankfurt though? Coming, Lars.
It's really boring. Like, can we just go? Police machine, can we have an update? Like, how are they doing these days?
I still think the ban hasn't. It's still going.
In the prep for this show, I just straight as soon as I knew that we're doing it and I knew what the games were, I just straight in the WhatsApp group to yours and said, "I'm doing the Liverpool game. No way am I doing this game."
Yeah, look, I'll tell you what, in the build-up to the game, Antonio Conte was asked why he isn't starting Matt Doherty, to which he responded, "Now, I'm not seeing him in the right way to start the game. I'm not stupid. I don't want to lose."
I love it when players, I love it when people who are speaking English as their second language,
yeah,
probably, and you know, good luck to them, because I don't speak any other languages, so I'm not criticising them for doing that, because of course in most cases they do it brilliantly, but they don't realise what they're saying, which seems completely matter of fact to them, is actually a gigantic insult.
Well, also, but there's a cultural thing as well, and I'm sure Lars will agree that in this country we like to be very indirect. And so when you get someone from, well, most of the world is much more direct with how they speak to each other. You take an Italian and you take Antonio Conte as that Italian, and then you put it in a footballing context. Yeah, I mean, it's like he's a sword-wielding maniac. You know,
I was going to interrupt you there and say, yeah, that's not just a cultural thing. That is also an Antonio Conte thing.
Yeah.
But some of the phrases, like when he says he wants to kill his players and stuff, I mean, there's a bit of lost in translation there, certainly. And but yeah.
Only slightly.
It wasn't a good game, guys. It really wasn't. I was watching... But also the frustrating thing, Spurs weren't bad enough that we can sit here and make fun of them either. That's why I'm annoyed about this. Because if they were going to be slightly underwhelming, then I was thinking at least I can go on the Ramble React and take the piss afterwards. But I have to be honest and say they produced enough chances to win this. They produced enough chances that you'd expect their forwards to, under normal circumstances, put away. So I don't feel like it's right to come on here and slag them off massively. It's a point away in Europe. It wasn't a dreadful performance. But Jesus, it was hard work to watch at times, especially in the second half. And it's also, yeah.
I was just going to say, though, Marcus and I gave our takes on Spurs on Monday's show. Be interested to hear just briefly what you think about Spurs at the moment generally, because I think there's been some quite sort of varied opinions about what they're doing, how they're doing it, and what it's likely to do in terms of bearing fruit when it comes to results.
Well, it's Antonio Conte. He's doing what he's doing. I mean, the plan A is to soak up pressure, sit a little bit deep, try to entice the opponent up the field so you can hit them on the counter.
Like, did he do that in Frankfurt?
So that was one of the things. They weren't really able to, because Frankfurt were like, nope, we'll just sit back. We're going to sit back. Yeah. We don't care. We know what you want to do, and we're just not going to play along with it, which is part of why it wasn't a good game, because you had a lot of Spurs being forced to pass the ball around and try to find openings and try to find their way through Frankfurt, which shouldn't have been impossible, because Frankfurt aren't a brilliant team.
And they were really poor against Sporting, like I say,
Yeah, and they were able to carve out enough chances that I don't want to be too mean about them, because this is a game that normally, you know, they should have won according to how it went. But it's also like, when you have sort of like Højbjerg and Bentancur trying to like pass their way through things, it's a little bit
I might read out one of your messages on the group, Lars, where you said Højbjerg Zidane. Don't worry, not that one. Højbjerg just did a Zidane pirouette away from a tackle, carried the ball 10 yards forward, and then resolutely played the ball half a yard behind Kane's run. It's been that kind of game.
Yeah.
And I think, yeah, I thought to myself, do I have to watch the highlights of this? But I think though
they really miss Kulusevski, I think, because he has a little bit of guile to him in those situations, and he can skip past the guy and find a pass and something. But what I would say, I'm interested about them in general. I was a little bit surprised by some of the reaction to the Arsenal game, where people were killing them for being too negative and like not having a go and not trying to control midfield or whatever. This is the thing. This is how he sets his team up. And when they go to the Etihad and win 3-2 like they did in February, everyone says, oh my God, the Conte, the tactic is so good. It's a tactical masterclass. And then you play against Arsenal, and the only main difference is that you're slightly less accurate in the passing when you're trying to counter, so you don't create those breaks like you should. And Hugo Lloris makes a mistake, and Emerson Royal just goes mad and does something insane. And then you lose the game. But the tactic was the same thing. Like, you can't like praise the tactic, if you know what I'm saying. And then there's a wider question: is this how Tottenham should be playing? And you can ask that question. And I guess if we were,
but you thought that a lot when you watched them against Frankfurt.
Well, yeah, exactly. If this was a Tottenham fan cast, we could do a good hour on whether or not that's the culturally correct thing for Tottenham to be doing and whatever. But the truth is, you've got Antonio Conte as your manager. Like, this is what it's going to be. This is what he does. And well,
sorry, Lars, to cut you off there, but I have to say that you're talking about Emerson Royal there and trying to impress the manager. It leads us quite neatly on to the news that emerged last week that he spent over £800,000 during the summer to try and improve his game and impress manager Antonio Conte. Now, I know sometimes footballers change their shin pads and their boots, but £800,000 is a hell of a lot of money.
For our American listeners, that's roughly about $800,000.
Is it that much, is it? My goodness, we're on our way back. But apparently he bought a hyperbaric oxygen chamber to put himself in to better his physical condition, of course, for Conte's high-energy tactics. So, I mean, he's trying, damn it all. I mean, that's serious amount of cash.
Sorry to cut in, Marcus, but that is a remarkable thing to read.
Thing to say.
My understanding of what that is, and I may be wrong, and by all means get in touch if I am, won't be the first time, that is basically, I think, essentially a way of delivering an oxygen-rich atmosphere to your body in a kind of pressurized way. So what I'm talking about is that's just not, as far as I know, that's not something you just pick up from IKEA and bring and put it in one of your rooms. There's a lot going into that. Like you have to basically, I think, pressurize or depressurize, I can't remember which one, an entire room. So
which would be a departure for IKEA. I mean, it's not really something they
typically quite exactly.
Slagging him off because they're from Sweden.
Yeah, pathetic. So transparent, Lars.
I'm just saying, I've been to IKEA.
Save your Scandinavian specific beef for your own style.
I have been to IKEA, and I've always looked around, and I've never seen what you guys are looking for is a hyperbaric chamber, but you're not going to find it here. You know, no, you need to go to a different
shop. Have you tried the meatballs, though, Lars?
You need to go to a different shop for that.
But you know, so what I'm saying is that is something I think that is used reasonably regularly at top level of a sport for athletes. Yeah. But as far as I understand, they go to centres to use it.
Yeah. Well, also, the other things he did, he commissioned a personal scouting report of Ashraf Hakimi so he could study the PSG fullback, who obviously did very well under Conte when he was wing back at Inter. And he's been working with a neuroscientist to help cope with the psychological pressures of being an elite athlete. So the last two of those three...
Pretty standard,
yeah. And the first one, I was kind of think, oh, fair enough. But spending £800,000 on all this stuff... I mean, I admire his determination and his commitment, but I think he's been had.
Do you think that the reason he got sent off against Arsenal is because in his hyperbaric oxygen chamber, everything moves a lot more slowly? So, like, he just got caught out on the pace thing.
Actually, maybe he's used to that condition. It was quite a sunny day at the Emirates, wasn't it? He was like, oh, I can't.
Any questions? Ask the team talk. Any questions? Can we pressurise the pitch? No.
Is it going to be over 8 degrees out there? Yeah. Well, it's still autumn.
It's delicious, this story, because that is something that isn't a story at all, and we can't cover it unless he gets sent off against Arsenal. So thank you very much for that, Emerson, because that's not really interesting if he plays really well. He's just there going, good on him. Fair enough. Yeah. Well done.
Like, what's the resale value of a hyperbaric chamber? Because I had a conversation with a friend.
Well, careful, owner.
Yeah, but just because... I have a friend who buys like expensive watches, and over a group dinner, he was kind of confronted with, why do you do this? This is insane. And he said, well, they keep their value. I can sell them on most of them.
It's actually
just an investment. Not sure that's true about the hyperbolic chambers. I have to go on eBay after the show.
Well, if on eBay, if someone says, talks about the chain, is it one of those chambers previously used by a Premier League footballer? Yeah. I think it could add value.
I also like the fact that Lars has been calling it a hyperbolic chamber.
Oh, no,
the
whole section, I did enjoy
which is
that.
that's just basically something that just makes you think you're really good.
That's the aim, isn't it?
Or certainly a chamber where a lot of hyperbole is deployed. So you could argue that our regular studio is very much a hyperbolic chamber.
I hope
he comes up against Callum Chambers in the away fixture. That'll be even weirder for him.
If you were selling Emerson Royale's hyperbaric chamber on eBay, would it increase the value or decrease it if you put that it's Emerson Royale's hyperbaric chamber?
I think no, you'd have to say Premier League football.
You don't want to say which one.
Yeah, don't say it. As soon as he started using this, he got sent off in a massive game.
Yeah.
That may not go...
I thought it was weird to see him on the pitch straight away after that red card. But I suppose that is just the case. In England, sometimes royals can make bad decisions and they just don't seem to disappear from public eye all the same. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Yeah. Well, he certainly didn't sweat when he was in that very cold chamber.
Yeah.
That's something we can agree. But Lars, Tottenham Hotspur, do you see them going through in this group? Because you've got 4 points. Okay, they've got home ties against Sporting and Eintracht to come, of course. Then they're off to Marseille at some point. But it's not the best start, and Conte has struggled a little bit in the Champions League.
Yeah, and ominously, Marseille have actually won a game now after being on this sort of hilariously long Champions League losing streak going back like many, many years. They actually won in a reasonably mad game against Sporting earlier in the day, in which the goalkeeper for Sporting had a really weird one and got himself sent off and cost them a couple of goals, and it was all very strange. But they did win Marseille, so that kind of... It is weird with Conte because his record in the Champions League isn't good, but I keep thinking there's no reason for that to be happening. Like, there's nothing, it's not like they're playing on skates or anything. Like, it's that the competition fundamentally isn't that different. If his tactics work largely in the Premier League as they have done, there's no reason why they shouldn't work against Eintracht Frankfurt. Or it is a slightly odd one, but
I think they'll go through. I mean, just all they've got to do is they've got to just win their home games, isn't it? I mean, realistically. Yeah. So I don't think the group stage is going to be a problem for them, but I don't really know what Spurs or Spurs fans' ambitions are for the Champions League generally at this point. I mean, if they get for the group stage,
get back into the final.
Yeah, well, there you go. That would be probably. I think most people would consider that an outlier, wouldn't they? But it's not, get back in the final. That one time they got to the Champions
League. That's the slogan. Yeah. That's the campaign. They're on the campaign trail. Let's get back in there where we belong.
Yeah.
All right, gentlemen. Tonight, Chelsea play in AC Milan. Lovely fixture. Manchester City will be taking apart FC Copenhagen.
I mean, what is the point of that game? Respectfully to your Scandinavian cousins, Lars. I mean, what is the point of that? You read that and your heart just sinks.
Oi, what would you prefer all the best teams to be put together, Luke, in some sort of Super League?
It's essentially the football equivalent of a squad of football players going on some kind of game show for a lovely day out.
Mate, this is the kind of thing there's those who want the Super League argue, by the way.
Yeah, but how long until you can just say that about City against anyone, including most of the teams in the Premier League?
Well, we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. I mean, if you listen to me on the Mondays, I do say that most weeks.
Well, but Newcastle got a point against them, didn't they?
Yeah,
so, you know, up all of yours.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, Chelsea versus Milan seems to be the better fixture to watch. But if you want to see goals, Man City versus Copenhagen will definitely provide them for you. So there we are. Thanks very much for listening to today's Ramble Reacts. Join us tomorrow for On the Continent as usual, and we'll be back with the preview show on Friday. It promises to be a cracker. Thank you very much, Luke Moore.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Lars Sivertsen.
Thank you, Marcus.
Pleasure. Thank you very much, everybody. See you soon.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.